Accession number 11106, Mr. T. Wilson, reel 14.
Mr. T. Wilson, reel 14. When did you leave Montmalto, Mr. Wilson?
No, I've got very poor recollection of leaving Malta, really. As a matter of fact, I can't even name the ship we left on or going down the harbour. I don't know why, but it's not in my memory as regards leaving Malta.
Where did you go to?
It would be in Syria. Not in Syria. That part of the world of Syria, around that area, would be around that area, there's camps around there, because I mean, Damascus and things like that, I can remind on. But it was more or less in Syria.
What date would this be that you moved?
1940. Well, June 1943, I should think, would be. In that area, June 1943, because June 1943, and went in Syria. Yes, I can mind that I know I'm getting into Syria, and we're doing a lot of training, invasion training. We started quite a lot of intensive training, rock climbing, scaling ships, getting things like that. Because I can remember when the camps were in, were termed in there, was Scorpion Valley. There's a lot of scorpions in that area. And you got very little sleep. It was intense at the time. But the scorpions were everywhere. And if a scorpion stung you, well, with those poisonous, or they could knock you out for about 24 hours. As a matter of fact, one fella, Graham, he had what they called tarantula. And I didn't like them type of thing, but that's what we're doing more or less there. We're doing, I think we're doing, we plan for the invade somewhere. That's what we're doing there. The training was termed as dry shod training. I think that's the term of the training. Rock climbing.
Have they given you any idea as to what you would be doing next?
Never. This is, as a matter of fact, we just thought it was another type of training coming off. But we weren't told that was a training for something coming off. We just thought, well, it's just part of the program to show our knowledge if we can learn it forward. But we weren't actually told we were doing that for a real stunt. And then that went on quite a while. They were going to relax up as well there. And silly, because I can remember going out to one of the local places, the bar, like what bar they had, and different kinds of drinks. And then right up on the mountains, Major Young at the time, and all, Major Young. More or less, I think we went to sit there for to do this dry throat training.
Was Colonel Nardern still with you?
Yes, I would say, Colonel, I can't remind, it always in my mind that we had Wilson and a few more, but Lysite Griffith and things like that in different times, but all that I seem to stick in my mind is when we're doing any action. He's the one I can praise most.
After, what stage did you, were you moved? And where did you move to?
Well, this place called Sarafan, wasn't he? Sarafan, I think. But I know you kind of get actual name now, not after all these years. But we were in Syria doing this, and then we went Well, we were aboard the aircraft. Well, we've got to board the aircraft there now. I know aboard the aircraft. We landed in Cyprus, refueled in Cyprus. Because one chap said to me, he says, how many more left over there? And I just said to him, I didn't know what you're talking about. And then the pilot, he says, George, he recognized the pilot. He says, he's starting to not give me any information. Oh, he says, you'll get nothing out of them fellas. And I still didn't give him any. He's wanting to know how many more to be transported while we're refueling. And we didn't even know where we were going then.
You're still with A Company.
Still with A Company. And we didn't know where we were going. We're just in the, you know, like we're in an airplane, we landed Cyprus. Refueled at Cyprus, this blows pulled up, that's how many more was left over there. I said, I didn't know. And he had a little red band on. Anybody gets an hour out of it. Well, even ourselves, we didn't know where we were going. That's what makes me, you know, say to you, right, where you're going to a certain day, doing a certain, we didn't, we were doing the aircraft, dubbed only fuel. Then we landed on a little island in the Dordogne. Later on, we got to know it was called Kos.
This would be your first flight on an aircraft as a unit.
Yes.
How did that go with you?
Well, the aircraft was all right. Something the aircraft, because we're carrying aircraft towers in, we're carrying the motors. So the pilot had the door open, so lift the tail end up, more or less. Because you just when you fly across the Mediterranean like that, you could see the battleships and ships, they're just like little white bits of ships in water. But we landed in Kos, all right, no bother.
There's no trouble landing?
No trouble at all. It doesn't matter what they're supposed to fight for. Well, I think somebody must have landed there before us. Somebody, you know, I mean, we didn't like take the island by ourselves or anything like that. There'd been some operation done before we got there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have landed as safely as we did. We landed on the air, and the acid wouldn't disperse straight away.
Was there any sign of damage or destruction?
Not really. Not at all in Kos. Now we were somewhere going because we took these things. We're just getting information as it come to me. I mean, it was a surprise to us that we're in an aircraft, landed at Cyprus, refueled, gone to aircraft again, and then we're flying low. Oh, what place is this? Of course, an island. But as I say, someone must have been there previous before us, we captured, more or less. We're what I call additional troops on the island.
And you say dispersed. Where did you disperse to?
Well, some were sent to different parts. I was sent to one well out the road. Just a map reference. And I didn't know where the battalion HQ was, anywhere in the country was. Information was very slack. Get away sharp and things like that. Before we were always told, like, here, company's there. That section there. Those on your left, those on your right. But when we were there, I just got sent to like a farm and just stay there.
Who was with you?
The platoon lads, about 8 or 9 of us, about 8 or 9 or 10, we'll say 10 then, just for a round figure. And when we got there, there was chaps near us, were both a gun. As I say, there'd been people there previous to us as well. The chaps there were above a gun, because, but there wasn't much on Kos, really.
Had you been told to take up some defensive position?
Yes, we were, but we didn't know where our actual front was.
So what did you do to defend yourselves?
Well, when you're fighting, you know what in front, you know you're the chaps are behind you. But when one happened, we didn't know who was behind us, backwards, left or right of us. See, that was puzzled as soldiers. So, when the invasion did come, it was only about a fortnight at the most, anyhow. Well, I got settled down. Good, we didn't get nowhere behind the headquarters was, or other ones. And I had one of them, what they call 38 sets, you know, like little wires on batteries. And I'll get a bit of information through now and again on it. But if you're up on the hill and they got, well, you didn't get the frequency didn't work.
So that it didn't always work? It wasn't too reliable?
No, wasn't too reliable. Where there's any mountainous country or hills out like that, or valleys, if you're deep down the valley. But we did get, I remember getting invaded in Alpine Raid once, in the valley where we were. I was telling them things with valleys. And we moved up to the top end of it, and the valley just, he bombed it, and it just seemed to close in all mode. It's a good job we moved to the top end of it, out the road where the rocks were. I got a few shots off of them, but that was all. And later on, I think one of the natives come round with his donkey or something. And this is an incident I wanted to prove to anybody as well. Coming over his donkey, or what he got laden on, and he threw a bit, either envelope or a bit of paper or something, and he threw a little man on the ground, and then they line up like a shape of an aeroplane, just like. Because Lieutenant Simmons was in charge of our company then. I think Simmons, I was with the company, Lieutenant in the company, Simmons. And I said to him, I says, the fella pointed out there now, I says, he maybe dropped somebody, he might have dropped somebody. I said, I'll take a bloke where he's not strong them or bring him back. If I can. But I said, if I can't bring him back, I'll just say your boots off. Oh, he said, you can't do anything like that. A week later, the invasion. He'd been one of the chaps that had been dropped previous to it. And that's what vexed me, because I was willing, you know, it was only more or less routine to me for the duty I got in the area where I was set to be guarding or living, or what was part of my area.
This fellow had been dropped to spy out the land.
Must have been. Because I just said to him, I said, I'll just take the fellow with us. I said, mind saying to him, mind, I says, I've just been mumbling that native there, went past with the donkey. And he more or less tells us a little man in the Burman, and they're like, I had a plane in the line up, and I said, that's his version, that is the sign language is in going. I said, but I believe him. So I said, I'll just have a walk, I'll just check it out. And he wouldn't give us a sorry for it to go. I was surprised. But no, we're going out, they went. I mean, if I'd not left hand in charge the ones, And the fellow tell me, my own instinct would tell me, say, you come in, I'm telling you what we're going to do. And I would have went and done it. That was really for me. That was our training, that was for our own safety. And a week later, we didn't know what else, but the lads say on the shore part of it, to the harbour where the boats were landing, Jerry landed with a brass band. Well, I was miles away up the road, see, and we even got a shut off. All I knew was put the 38 on, I go, the information now just mumbled a different language and God knows what. And the lad in that boat for gun, they were away out of it, they weren't going on it. So I used my own judgment. I just took the lads around, walked around the edge of the cliffs. On the night time, go to the road. It was dark. Because there's nobody out. And we passed like a dry river bed or shingles or stones on the night time. And whoever it was, they run that way and we run that way. So it must have been our own fellas doing the same. Anyway, I think I spent about 5 days in the hills in a selected spot out the road, because we got near the shore at one side island, I said, well, if I can get a, if there's a boat there, we'll pinch a boat because you can see Turkey. It's only on the clear day, you could see Turkey. It's only about 3 miles away, Turkey.
You knew then that the Germans were on there?
Oh, I knew that they had it.
Yeah.
Oh,
you,
yes.
You heard the gunfire and fighting, etc.
They had it. And when the position I was in, well, I was, there was no fighting there. See, the fighting was down where the quarters was and things like that, and I was isolated out the road. But I still knew that feeling, see?
So you took your men up into the hills, did you?
Oh, yes.
And when you said you were in a place in the hills, what place was this? Was it a cave or what have you?
Was it? It wasn't a cave. It was like a deep cut in the hillside, and more or less we sheltered. And but
what did you do for food over those days?
Well, I've come down to the Abbasak, the what they call the emergency ration, and that was a finish. Well, starving, and that's it. That was my idea, was if I could get along where the coast was and get all the fish aboard or pinch the boat, it didn't matter where we belonged, as long as we got it, and Turkey were in the same aisle away, but because the Germans were dropping flares even during the night, during the day, they were scooting around during the day, and during the night, there was flares going all over. Well, we knew then that we were finished, because I mean, Ophelus wasn't named that. And whoever did try to get across, they were just rattled there because there was gunfire going off on the coast, things like that. At the finish, one lad, I think he said, they were ready to let it come out. So we just marched out and that's all. I felt bloody horrible. Tears rolling down my bloody eyes, I tell you that now.
That you marched out to give yourselves up?
First of all, I destroyed that 30 I set. Smashed it. And just buried the rifle and bayonet and thing like that. And just had to come out. They'd probably still be there because they both ever got round that part. But it broke your heart as regards information, man. Tears was running down my eyes, I tell you that. As a matter of fact, the German sergeant thought that I was wounded. Failing that, at the end of all that, that was the end of everything. And it was a broken hearted feeling that a man was playing his part, it breaks him down, and it broke me down.
Were you angry about the lack of leadership and messages or information? Was that part of
the your leadership opinion? Was always there, but the information wasn't, because everything was written on cost. But I tell you the truth, look, I didn't even know we were going to cost. All I knew when we were doing training, what we're doing the training for, God knows what. It might be some way, but I didn't actually know that, and I should have known that we were going to cost, and that we were going to take up an airdrome and a door deck and all that. I've been filled in with the picture more or less, which was here, there, and there, and off. Even the position I got, I didn't know the lads whether the both were going in front of us, and then they were a couple of days missing, they were missing. And I said, oh, I'm missing something wrong here. Hey, I mean, the one that withdrawn, they just left the gun in the way.
What was the morale of your own little group like when you realised you were hiding?
There were me and, I must say, well, it suffered, but it wasn't very nice. No. My intentions were, if I could get in the boat, I'd get in there. If I could get in that water, be in that water, but...
Did the others not want to get on the boat?
We couldn't get one. If we get the one, it would have been on it. If we could have gotten one, a couple, you know, a fisherman's couple, because I got near the shoreline, around the Parton Island where I was.
Well, the Germans, at the time that you decided to lay down your weapons and hide them, of course, and then move out, could you see the Germans?
Oh, yes. But you could see them, there was like people marching there, As a matter of fact, when we did get there, to where the old congestion of people were, how many was there? Not only of our own regiment, of other forces.
There's no fear in your heart that the Germans might, in the act of giving up, the Germans may have fired at you.
Oh, no.
Did you shout to them? Or?
Given the view there, that the chap, what we gave up to, he was human. Well, I mean, Well, they knew that they should be the hand at it. And I mean, I'd lasted 5 days, so it was just like a rounding up. And I said, well, the Navy, they may find it. Anybody know? Because I'm not going to gain nothing good.
Had it been your intention over the 5 days to fight if you had to?
Yes. But when they saw hope, it was hopeless, because my intentions were the invasion had been on and the mothers had been successful. I was wondering if I can get a boat or from the shoreline or raft anything. Something might turn up or they get away from it. They get off the island. But there was no chance. They were well organized for that. So I was surprised with this chap took a look there. And
when you say, what did they do, make you put your hands up? Or?
No, they just said, come on, well, you had any weapons, you had weapons, being an experienced soldier, with an experience that you're next in your life for, and so it takes some blame what you would do. But in the first place, you're not going to think you're going to fire, hit somebody in that, because this foliage, that means, you know that all hope's lost. Then all hope is lost. Then I think that it had to come to that such a blooming end. Why? Well, them in up in the parts, they know about it. We don't. But after all, if the years have gone by and things like that, we just really found out we'll sacrifice.
You felt you should never have gone in.
Never. Never at all. We'll sacrifice. Why we'll sacrifice? Well, was maybe make a bigger move for elsewhere in the plans of what they want to do, because it was said there's only 500 wanted. Some chaps what was when we were in Syria, they were left behind. There's only 500 wanted to take part in that operation. I was still being the one with being left behind. I would have been back with my own reforming again. But to be sacrificed like that, did the broke you, to give you a feeling that why did they do them things? Why, I mean, we're willing to fight anybody with a fair fight or in the gut, but not be sacrificed. That broke my heart, really, and that probably there's a lot of chaps felt the same way.
The Germans, you said the chap that took your surrender was a decent type. What about the others? Were they arrogant or?
No. The Welsh in their troops and things like that. As a matter of fact, I can remember when we get in there anywhere where all the prisoners were, everybody's want a drink of water, so was I. And the fellas that didn't know the whole regiment and all that, I started shouting at them. I tell you, now get yourself organized. I said, then just show yourselves up with these fellas. I said, if you'll get a drink of water in time, but I said, don't duck the hooligans.
And what were they doing?
Getting out the line, wanted to get away forward. The Germans were organizing for to get a drink of water, and they wanted to rush forward and spoil the routine work, see? And I had to use my authority as a sergeant to tell them to behave themselves and not show themselves up.
And did they do that?
They had to get the finish. Otherwise, the Germans would have used force on them. But they were pretty lenient and they were well organized too. But I mean, as I found out, right, but I didn't want to be there. I know. It was a poor fairy story, this. It had a very, very bad ending.
When you got over your distress, were you worried about the situation then? What was going to happen to
well,
you?
Well, you didn't know then. Well, you thought, well, you're in the German hands, huh? That's no good. None of anything. You can't expect anything at all from them. As a matter of fact, you're lucky they on your 2 feet. Because we as soldiers were either dead or alive. I mean, we're prisoners of war. We weren't actually captured in a fighting spirit. See? We're more or less thrown into a whirlpool. See?
Were you able to ascertain when you got into the prison camp, concentrate, what had happened to the rest of the battalion?
Well, I seen the IO, Hellas, his intelligence officer, because they come out later on. There was two submarines later on. Well, if I'd get in a rendezvous with that, them two submarines, or one of them, I would have made it. And I never got that information, and I would have gotten there with my, the 8 or 10 lads I had, was, I would have gotten that rendezvous, I would have gotten there, I would have been a dead man. One or the other. But I didn't get another rendezvous. Because the IO said to me, didn't I get a rendezvous? Well, I mustn't. But if I was surprised at the such thing as when he come outwards, see? Because there were different fellas, and I was like, he said, you know, get it on the boat, Wilson. I said, myself, if I'd only get another bin, got to know later on, there's two submarines later on, I would have been on them. I'd have been a dead man, I'd have gotten on them. Maybe it's a good job, I didn't get another on the boat, because it was either dead or alive for me with that. But you're thrown into a whirlpool with no hope at all. And it gives you a horrible feeling, a feeling you can't express. I know tears are flying down my eyes.
Were you worried about what would be happening at home, of course, when the telegrams arrived?
Not at all. You say, well, you're reported missing. Well, that happened to thousands of people. Then when they got organised later on, Nobby Clark, he was the orderly room sergeant, he was... Yeah, I don't know, I got a typewriter for him, but he got hold of a typewriter, and he's typing names, the different ones, what was there, number, rank and name, and then passing on like sheets and that information for the Red Cross and things like that, who was left and who wasn't, because later on some was missing and some wasn't, and but you're getting catalogued down, you know, see?
No. So they took you and they herded you together and gave you water. What happened after that? What organisation? Was the food laid on for you?
Oh, very little food. Well, as a matter of fact, you don't think you eat it if it's there, but you seem to forget all such things exist as you get on in a way. But they did put on a little steamer in the harbour, go down the harbour. Put on a little steamer just down the hold of the old cargo. Matter of fact, a little thin iron ladder all the way down, the bottom of the hold. And I said, good Lord, I said, if our Navy bloke see this, he'll just wallop and we'll go down again, you know.
What had you been captured with? Just basically your uniform, or you're carrying nothing else?
Nothing else, no. I tell the lad, just bury your stuff. I said, well, Father, they're getting away from it now. Well, in 5 days we knew it.
So they put you on a steamer, and then where did they take you?
To port in Athens, Piraeus. Then the line is on the quayside. Well, we know, just like KD shorts and shirts, see? Well, I mean, we're raggy looking, not only probably like that. Then there'd be one of the high commanders, the Germans, the surveyor walking about with his leggings on, and must have said, I could wring your neck like that. You'd like to, now, but... You know, you had a feeling that I could ring your neck at the Chancellor, but you had no chance at all. Mm-hmm. Just like I say, a little upstart like that.
But were they still acting all right towards you?
No. The different type of altogether. The men what took you, you know, like what captured Ireland, and you know, when you got back, when they did get you in the organised place and things like that. Oof, dead stick anything. Different type of fellas altogether. Same type of breed like the SS. The fighting man was different. The one back over. Hell of a long way different. Because when I got to Athens, the port of Piraeus, Athens.
And how did you get to Athens from there?
They organised and they got on the railway and put in trucks. There were about 40 people got in the truck.
These were the cattle truck, aren't
they? The cattle trucks. And you in them for about 10 days. You never out. If somebody died or something, they got the wheel, not yours.
And did you see people suffering in this way?
Yes, I've known them, anybody dying, some they have, but some trying to kick the floorboard out. Mum did get in the station and get away and things like that, but no, there was two things. That wasn't much kind of escape. Granted, the idea of escape was always in your mind, if possible, which eventually did happen when the opportunity did occur, but not to go to the organized camps. And they went as far as Poland, I think, somewhere in Poland.
So they took you, put you on a train in Piraeus, and then you were travelling for, what, 10 days?
10 days.
And how did you, what food and water or drink were you given?
Hardly any, I think. you make a hell of a journey, and then you probably pull in the Poseidon, and then you know, we'll either get chained and you'll be off again or something like that. And you don't know nothing, but all you heard was clanging and banging. And you are just lying down there.
And how did you manage the first toiletry?
That didn't matter. They supposed to be booked in the corner, and that was the end of it. Oh, the place was horrible. 10 days in there, about 40 people. Well, when they did arrive, before they come out, I just fell on the ground with it. You know, the sunlight and the dark just fell on the ground, that's all.